Can you talk about what the effects of trastuzumab are, what the effects of lapatinib are, and then what's happening in terms of endocrine therapy inside the cell?
Sure. I'd like to start by considering it from the point of view of endocrine therapy first and add HER2-directed therapies on top of that base. If you consider there's the classical mechanism for activating the estrogen receptor where estrogen binds to the receptor and then that complex binds to estrogen response elements and turns on estrogen-dependent genes. That's the classical pathway. There's this mode of crosstalk where receptor tyrosine kinases like HER2 receptor can actually activate the estrogen receptor even in the absence of estrogen. So if you consider that situation, what you find in the laboratory is that in those situations of HER2-positive, ER-positive disease, they're resistant to endocrine therapy. In fact, tamoxifen can even behave as an agonist under that scenario. So tamoxifen may not be the ideal drug for this class of patients. On the other hand, if you consider aromatase inhibition, what are you doing there? Well, you're blocking the synthesis of estrogen by blocking aromatase in postmenopausal patients. But that still leaves this pathway between HER2 and ER unchecked. So that may not be an ideal strategy as endocrine therapy for HER2-positive disease either. And that would explain why the Arimidex plus Herceptin randomized trial was positive, because by blocking both, you get a superior result. So what would be ideal? Ideally, it would be good to get rid of the estrogen receptor so that it can't be activated by these HER2 signaling pathways or estrogen. And an ideal agent, at least from a theoretical point of view, would be fulvestrant or Faslodex, because it's a selective estrogen receptor degrading agent.